Judges of the United States Court of Appeals in the Fourth Circuit. Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. All persons having business before the Honorable Court are admonished to draw near and give your attention, as the Court is now sitting. God save the United States and the Honorable Court.
Morning, ladies and gentlemen.
Good morning.
Our first case is Beauchamp versus the City of Noblesville. Mr. Small.
Thank you, Your Honor. My name's Mark Small, and I represent Rick and Beth Beauchamp. It's a Hoosier pronunciation, who respectfully request that this court vacate the judgment of the district court in regards to summary judgment and allow them to go to trial on the suit that they brought. The issues that are before the court primarily have to do with 1983. There aren't any substantive issues that are beyond the questions that normally arise in a summary judgment matter of this nature. They also had state claims below that are also placed in the context of whether it was proper for the district court to enter summary judgment. With the court's permission, I'll briefly recite the facts, or is that necessary? The two issues here primarily have to do with two arrests. The first arrest was when Mr. Beauchamp was arrested for attempted residential entry. We argue that there was no evidence from which the officers in that case could determine that there had actually been a violation of the law. Ms. Klingerman, who was the victim in the case, the complaining witness, said that somebody pounded on her door, said, "Michelle, let me in." She was confused as to who it was. She called 911. The person continued to pound on the door and say, "Let me in," and then left. Afterwards, she said she found a couple of marks on the door. It looked like pry marks, and that they hadn't. It's equivocal in the evidence as to whether those marks had been there before the incident took place. There was no violation under Indiana law. Simply because somebody knocks on the door and ask to be let in doesn't mean that they're forcefully trying to achieve entrance to a house or a residence without permission. Presumably, an inference would be that if they're knocking on the door and they're asking for somebody to come to the door to let them in, that they're actually trying to seek permission to enter lawfully. And the fact that after he could not obtain entrance into the home, this individual went away, means that if he couldn't get entrance through permission of the person inside, then he was going to leave and not seek improper entry into the establishment. In other words, he wasn't going to try to break in. Because there was no violation of the law, there was no probable cause to believe that there was a violation of the law. Therefore, Detective Milligan of the Hamilton County Sheriff's Department violated Mr. Beauchamp's rights by arresting him for something that wasn't a violation of the law. The other arrest had to do with an alleged rape that occurred on April 15th. Ms. Klingerman called 911.
Do I recall there was an order of protection?
Yes, Your Honor.
So that there was more to it than just somebody knocking on the door. Somebody had already, the defendant precisely, had already been under an order of the court to avoid her.
Your Honor, I believe that the order, the protective order issued after Mr. Beauchamp was arrested for that charge.
For the rape or for the knocking on the door?
For the attempted residential entry.
Okay.
So at the time, I believe that at the time that he was knocking on the door, he wasn't under a protective order at that time. Now, when the April 15th incident allegedly occurred, by that point he was under a protective order.
Had there been an application for a protective order prior to the time?
Your Honor, I don't believe that there had been. And I could be mistaken about that. I was not trial counsel.
Well, we can always ask your opponent. So.
We have a very collegial relationship with one
another.
Well,
that's comforting to hear.
But I don't believe that there had been an application. I know that Ms. Klingerman had made accusations against Mr. Beauchamp to her employer and to other people that he had been harassing her and sexually harassing her. But Mr. Beauchamp, at the time of the first incident, I do not believe was under any order at that time. April 15th occurs. Ms. Klingerman is at home. She calls 911. Officers come to her residence. She says that somebody attacked her in her residence, threw her to the floor, and said, "I'm going to make you pay for this," referring to the first incident she felt. And she felt that she could identify Mr. Beauchamp. In the 9 days following that, Ms. Duquette, who's a defendant from the Noblesville Police Department, coordinated with Detective Milligan of the Hamilton County Sheriff's Department to to investigate as to whether they should bring charges against Mr. Beecham.
Now, what did Ms. Klingerman say to Ms. Duquette that should not have been believed by Ms. Duquette?
That she'd been raped, Your Honor. Because of the circumstances whereby she made the specific accusation of rape, the officers brought her in to take a polygraph. She took the polygraph. She passed on two questions and failed on a third. The first two questions were, and she,
well, but how about the fact that she told Ms. Duquette about her the attacker's mannerisms, his eyes, his voice, his general build, his clothes, as well as statements that were made, and his voice in the statements that were made, and the fact that Ms. Klingerman's descriptions of Mr. Beauchamp were corroborated by a witness who saw him later that day.
Your Honor, I believe that the description in terms of the clothing had to do, she described in the second incident what Mr. Beecham was wearing, but I think that the corroboration of what Mr. Beecham was wearing later in the day occurred with the residential entry and Detective Milligan saying, I saw him, he was wearing.
I'm sorry.
In terms of her stating about his voice and everything, Ms. Klingerman knew Mr. Beecham, and if that itself were the limit of it, and she had made the accusations, and we didn't have other facts in the matter, yeah, that would mean there were facts there that Ms. Duquette should probably have believed. But what happened was they brought Ms. Klingerman in to take the polygraph. She was gauged as being truthful on two questions where she said someone unknown had attacked her in her home, and then on the third question, she flunked, which was regarding the attack in your apartment, did you report the truth to the police concerning the attack? The police relied upon the polygraph in the probable cause hearing, and Mr. Milligan said, the thing was, we asked her then, that Mr. Milligan said the question was, were you being completely honest? Which is a different question entirely. It implies that she was being partially honest, instead of the question being, did you report the truth? At that point, Mr. Milligan says, well, what happened? And she said, well, it's raped. In other words, she takes it to another level of her accusation when they have facts from the polygraph that they wanted to conduct and presumably were by their examiner to indicate that she was not telling the truth. I see that I'm getting in my rebuttal time. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Holloway?
Thank you, Your Honors. May I proceed? Please, the court. My name is Mark Holloway, and I represent Detective Milligan and the Hamilton County Sheriff. And at issue on this appeal is a Fourth Amendment false arrest claim under Section 1983 in the state law.
Can you enlighten me as to when the application for the protective order occurred?
Yes, the attempted residential entry was on Monday, February 23rd, and there was an application for an arrest warrant and protective order after that. So on
the arrest warrant and the application for protective order were simultaneously
about the same time. Yes, might have been.
Well, simultaneous and the same time mean the same thing. So when I say simultaneous, that is the same time.
That's right.
On Sunday,
Michelle Klingerman reported to the Fishers Police Department that she was getting some harassing phone calls and believed it was Rick Beecham, and so she made a report to the Fishers Police Department. So the Beecham's attorney is ignoring all the facts and circumstances involving this attempted residential entry regarding probable cause. Then the Monday at 11:30, she calls and reports that someone was knocking on her door. Says, "Michelle, are you in there?" Michelle yelling it, and then she sees him running away. She described his clothes. Later that afternoon, they went to his house. Sure enough, he had the exact same clothes. So there's no question about he was identified on the attempted residential entry. Detective Milligan himself saw fresh pry marks on the door. So it was an arrest warrant was issued. The arrest warrant was issued and a protective order issued not only on that report, but also on Danielle Uli's report when she reported to Detective Milligan on March 4th, I believe it was, regarding an incident on February 12th of another incident of sexual assault. She identified Beecham when he came into a hair salon and assaulted her sexually. He ultimately pleaded guilty to a battery charge, admitted to probable cause for battery in that case. It was a combined affidavit when the arrest warrant was sought. So the protective order was to keep Mr. Beecham away from Danielle Uli and Michelle Klingerman. And the arrest warrant was valid. There's been no argument that that what Michelle Klingerman told Detective Milligan wasn't true. Mr. Beecham has no way of refuting that what Michelle Klingerman told Milligan is what he put in his affidavit. He admits that he can't refute that.
Could you give a comment on Mr. Small's point about the lie detector test?
Well, this the general rule here is that the probable cause, the arrest warrant after a hearing on April 24th was valid. And so there's no Fourth Amendment claim. Now, if you can make the claim, the argument that Detective Milligan deliberately and knowingly misrepresented facts to the hearing or to the judge finding probable cause, and it was necessary to the finding of probable cause, then the arrest warrant is not valid. The closest thing to that is the polygraph report. Detective Milligan, the Fishers Police Department conducted this polygraph on April 24th. The incident was the 15th. Michelle Klingerman gave a recorded statement to Detective Milligan. Duquette was there. She all along described the events regarding her attack. And then on the Friday, when they took her polygraph, did someone unknown to you attack you in your apartment? She said yes. And she tested truthfully regarding that. And so that polygraph was taken on that Friday.
She added to it later on where she was raped as opposed to the first time.
The polygrapher said, went back to her and said, why was this deceptive regarding why you weren't completely honest?
She was trying to keep it from her husband.
She said she was worried her husband was going to be mad, that okay. He wouldn't want her anymore, those kinds of things. She explained why she didn't tell the police, which is not unusual. She also said she had been bleeding vaginally since April 15th as well. And the polygraph report, I'm not sure when it was done. Detective Milligan is talking about what the polygrapher told him that morning when he went into the hearing. So the question is whether or not this polygraph is going to turn upside down this entire probable cause finding because of this polygraph report. Cervantes versus Jones, the court talks about polygraphs. It's one factor. This report would have been one factor. I'm not sure it was even really exculpatory. She tested truthfully to the attack. She clearly identified Mr. Beecham. His blue eyes, his voice, his mannerisms. There was no reason to not believe her. And this is a case that is similar to a Tangwall versus Stuckey, in which I see my time is up. Clearly the rule is that if the victim clearly identifies her assailant, then the police have a right to rely on her statement for probable cause. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Holloway. Mr. Jones?
Thank you, Your Honors. May it please the Court, Kyle Jones representing the City of Noblesville and Detective Duquette. Detective Duquette and Noblesville were not involved in the attempted residential entry investigation or the sexual assault of Danielle Uli, which is another incident. They were involved in the investigation of Mr. Beecham with regard to the April 15th assault of Michelle Klingerman. And we join in the arguments advanced by Hamilton County and Milligan concerning the fact that there is no Fourth Amendment claim against them. They were executing a valid warrant. As concerns Detective Duquette, it can't be said that she misled anybody. She did not testify at the probable cause hearing. She wasn't even at the probable cause hearing. and doesn't know what information was or was not provided to the court at that hearing. She was simply advised, subsequent to the hearing, that an arrest warrant had been issued, and she accompanied other officers in the execution of that warrant. There was a question asked earlier with regard to corroborating evidence, corroborating description of Mr. Beecham, and to correct an innocent
representation. It was April 15th. I was correct.
That is correct, Your Honor. Detective Duquette interviewed another witness that substantially described Mr. Beecham as wearing the same clothing as Michelle Klingerman had described earlier with regard to the attack. She was simply executing a valid warrant, and what is, at a very minimum, a facially valid warrant as to her. She had no reason to believe that the warrant was not valid in any manner whatsoever. She did not plead the court. She didn't withhold any information from the court or from the prosecutor. We submit, Your Honors, that probable cause exists for the arrest of Mr. Beecham. And even if it doesn't exist, that Ms. Duquette is still entitled to qualified immunity because no reasonable officer in her position, knowing what she knew and confronting the circumstances which she confronted, would believe that her conduct clearly violated anybody's constitutional rights. And in addition to those qualified immunity, we submit that Ms. Duquette has immunity for quasi-judicial conduct, that being the execution of a warrant or, at a minimum, facially valid warrant in this case. There, with regard to the state law claims, the issue that I want to address there is that the appellants do not argue or provide any information as to why the immunities under the Indiana Tort Claims Act would not apply in this case. There's the law enforcement immunity, there's the discretionary function immunity, and in addition to that, while there is absolutely no evidence in this case of any malicious conduct, allegations or evidence of maliciousness cannot overcome claims of immunity under the Indiana Tort Claims Act. I see that my time is out.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. Mr. McQuarrie?
Thank you, Your Honors. If it pleases this court, my name is Jeff McQuarrie, and I represent Sheriff Cotty and Detective Widener. The issue with respect to Cotty and Widener is whether the plaintiff has designated sufficient evidence to show that Detective Widener was in some way personally involved in the actions that led to his alleged injury. And I believe the record is undisputed that Detective Widener was not involved. His sole function was to investigate, at the plaintiff's request, the phone calls, the harassing phone calls regarding his actions towards Ms. Klingerman. And that simply does not raise the inference that he conducted any activity that led towards Mr. Beecham's arrest. I concur with Mr. Jones in that even if Detective Widener did play some role in the investigation, that this was clearly pursuant to probable cause. And I'd like to remind the court that the standard for probable cause is not whether the officer was correct in believing that the suspect is guilty, but merely whether a reasonable officer would have grounds to believe that the suspect was guilty. And clearly, a personal identification by one claiming to be the victim is probable cause, whether or not ultimately the charge leads to a conviction.
Okay, thank you, Mr. McQuarrie.
Thank you, Your Honors.
Mr. Small, how much time did you have? 2 minutes?
Thank you, Your Honor. Judge Posner asked a question of Mr. Holloway regarding the lie detectors, and I want to go back to that point. Mr. Holloway says, well, that's just one kind of factor, and here's what's happened, and she did answer truthfully on a couple of questions. The state, during the prosecution of Mr. Beecham, laid great stress upon the fact that Ms. Klingerman could identify him, and he was known to her. The two questions in the polygraph examination that the state's own polygraph examiner framed and submitted to Ms. Klingerman were, did someone unknown to you commit this act? There were two questions in that regard. Then the third one was, regarding the attack, did you tell the truth? That's the one that she failed. And during the April 24th hearing for probable cause, Detective Milligan goes back to that point repeatedly, that she had such a good idea of who this person was and knew him, and that was why they knew it was Mr. Beecham. They can't both stress the fact that she knew the person so well and relied upon the polygraph examination, and then later when it goes against them say, well, that was just one factor and we shouldn't go back to that. Absent any allegation that officers played an essential or influential role in procuring an arrest warrant or an indictment, provides the basis for a 1983 action. And that was a decision that Judge Bauer wrote in Snodderly versus Rough Drug Enforcement Task Force.
I was actually writing it on behalf of the court, you understand.
I understand, Your Honor. In that case, though, the point was made that where the investigating officer is critical to obtaining the warrant and misleads the court, then that officer can't hide behind the court itself and seek refuge when he or she has misled the court in obtaining the indictment or the information. For that reason, we would ask that the court find that the district court was incorrect in granting summary judgment and remand this matter for a retrial. Thank you, Your Honor.
Okay, thank you all. Thank you to both sides.